My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Was that a powerful word this morning? My goodness, we received a word from the Lord today. Brother Jones, I want you to come and preach to us again tonight. It's great to have you in Pensacola.
Praise God. Oh, he's in this house tonight. Let's worship him together. Let's let him know how happy we are that he's with us tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. Fill this place, Lord. What a joy to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for the invitation and opportunity to come. I always enjoy worshiping with this great congregation. My text this evening is from the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter. I'm going to begin reading at verse 21. Mark 9, beginning at 21. And he asked, the he there is Jesus. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And the father said, since a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things. Everybody say all things. Now, I like to say here in the Greek, the word all here means all. It means everything. In this case, it means anything is possible to him that believeth. Pray with me right now. Thank you, Lord, for your word, its power. Thank you for its universal application, its timelessness, its eternal nature. I pray you'd quicken our hearts and minds this evening. Let us, I pray, be inspired to reach out and receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before you're seated, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think about at least one thing you need from God. If you're sick, if there's trouble, if there's lack, loss, grief, pain, fear, depression, I want you to think of that for just a moment. And remember that all things are possible. God bless you. Thank you. Please be seated. What I'm going to preach about tonight is this: a little faith is still a lot. Now, we marvel as we turn to the pages of Scripture and we see giants of the Word of God, men, women who demonstrated incredible faith in God's power. And because of that faith, they changed their world. Not just the world of all of us, but the world that they lived in, their circumstances, their situation. Right. Miracles happen because of great faith. That when they claimed it in the name of Jesus, the devil wasn't big enough. Right. Situations could never be bad enough. The Bible speaks of them receiving their dead back to life, of them receiving victory over the enemy. of them seeing miraculous manifestations of God's presence and God's power because of faith. Not because of anything else, but because they had great faith. Now, maybe sometimes when we read these stories of great towering faith that brooks no doubt and rises above the limitations of the human mind and heart, we're just a little bit intimidated. Because we have to admit that sometimes our faith is not great faith. Perhaps we've been challenged to try to have more faith. Have you ever tried to have more faith? How do you have more faith? I've hunted the switch. I can't find it. I don't know how to imagine it up. I don't know how to grunt and groan until I reach that place of great faith. Now, I know it's possible because the pages of God's Word are filled with examples of great faith. Great faith, not just demonstrated that, in my opinion, makes it great faith, but faith that was declared great by the Lord Himself. How about the centurion that comes with Jesus who has a servant ill at home? This is a Roman soldier, an occupier, if you will, an impressor in a political sense. And yet he has faith that Jesus is a healer, that Jesus is the answer. And when the doctors failed and home remedies had no effect, he comes to Jesus and he says, "Would you heal my servant?" And Jesus said, "Okay, show the way. I'll come to your house and I'll heal him." And this man said, "Oh, no, no, you don't have to come to my house. You don't have to put your hands on my servant. Now, I'm a man, I have authority, and if I tell somebody you go here, he goes. And if I tell him you go there, he goes. And this sickness is under your dominion. You have power over this problem. So just don't go anywhere. You speak the word. I'll go to the house and everything will be all right." Now let me tell you something. You don't surprise God very much. But this man surprised the Lord. Matthew says when Jesus heard it, he marveled, he wondered, and he said to them that followed him, "I have not found so great faith even in Israel." God, give us the kind of faith that recognizes God can speak the word and the miracle can happen. How about the Canaanite woman whose daughter was suffering with demon possession? And she cried out to the Lord in desperation, had no right, had no standing, was not of God's children. It was a dispensational impossibility. There had been no door yet open to the Gentiles. She had no claim on him except one, and that claim was faith. And she followed, and she called, and she pled, "Have mercy on me." Even when he turned and said, "Now go away, it's not your time." Even when he called her a dog and said, "It is not proper that I should give the children," talking about Israel, "the children's bread to the dogs." But something kept her there. How many of us would have stomped away in a rage, in a huff, insulted? Why? Went to that preacher, "You'll never believe what he said to me." But instead, she said, you're right, absolutely right. And I don't want you to give the children's bread to us dogs, but even the dogs will hang around the table in case a little crumb could fall, and so they can lap it up. Just toss me a bone here. Just toss me a crumb here. Just let me hang around the fringes. I may not be good enough to sit at the table, but if you'll let me just stay around and get a blessing, it will satisfy me. And Jesus answered her, kick down dispensational barriers, put them in a time machine, and took them into the future when a door would be open to the Gentile people, and said, oh woman, great is thy faith. Be it done unto thee. And her daughter was made whole. How about the great faith of Stephen? We don't often think of that. They stoned him, right? He died, right? But the Bible says he had great faith. So great faith that Luke writes and says that he was full of faith. I wonder if Paul was not looking back in a bit of regret. When describing the deacons to the young preacher Timothy, he said they had great boldness of faith. Great faith. That in a moment that many would label defeat, he lifted his eyes and the veil pulled back. And he saw Jesus awaiting him, greeting him, welcoming him. Great faith. Sometimes it's intimidating to read of such faith. It will make us, I think, sometimes consider our faith as poor and lacking. That when we read of faith that can't be insulted, of faith that can't be turned aside, a faith that denies any lack of a access to God. A faith that says, yes, but I believe you. A faith the devil can't stop. Hell cannot burn. The world cannot destroy. Faith that rises above every circumstance. Goes beyond every roadblock. That kind of faith. Huge faith. Great faith. Towering faith. But I was reading about some faith that maybe doesn't quite qualify. Made me feel good. Jesus didn't call it great faith. You see, they're out there in the midst of a great storm. Their little boat is about to sink. The waves crashing over the bow. They know their lives are in danger. And they wake the Lord up, who lies asleep in the gunwale of the boat. And they said, don't you care that we're perishing? And Jesus said, why are you afraid? If for no other reason, no boat I'm in is going to sink. If I'm in your boat, ain't never been a storm bad enough to sink this boat. Why are you? All you got to do is get Jesus in your boat, and then whatever comes your way, you're going to sail right through it. And here's what he said. He said, why are you afraid, O ye of little faith? I'd love to tell you that I'm like the centurion, that I'm like the Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman. I'd like to tell you I'm like Brother Stephen, but I have to tell you I'm more like these guys. I fit in this boat. This is where I belong. I'd love to claim towering, impenetrable, impermeable faith, but I have to stand here and tell you sometimes my faith seems awful small. But let me tell you about little faith. Let me tell you what little faith did. Jesus called it little faith. The same one that labeled it great, that tells me there is great faith. But he also labeled this little faith. But he stood in the bow of the boat. Little faith woke him up. Little faith cried out to him. Little faith brought him to bear in time of trouble. He said, it's little faith. And then he stood up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And there was a great calm. Ladies and gentlemen, don't sit around and wait for great faith. Don't wait for that moment when there is no doubt. Get a hold of him with what little faith you have. Because a little faith is a lie. Of faith when it comes to the power of God. Oh, we ought to praise him right now. Yeah, we more often have little faith than great faith. But little faith knew where to go. It was little faith, but they knew where to go. They finally shipped their oars. They finally quit bailing with that tin bucket. They finally quit trying to navigate through that storm. And their little faith took them to the right place. Quit trying to fix it. Quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to quantify it. Quit trying to categorize it. Just bring your little faith to the only place where the answer is. Come to Jesus and say, Lord, don't you care? It might have been weak, but it knew to bring them to Jesus. It not only knew where to go, it knew what to ask. It didn't say, now, Lord, if you would just deal with the meteorological irregularities with which we deal. We can navigate. If you'll just calm the wind a little bit, maybe 20, 30 miles an hour, and we've been in that kind of storm. Maybe bring the waves down about 5 feet, and we can get through that. Just take care of X, Y, Z. No, no, no. They had little faith, but they knew what to say. They came to Jesus and said, save us. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. It's time to quit trying to handle it and say, Lord, open a door. Save us. And they knew when to ask. Before the ship went down, before all hope was lost, before it was too late. It's time tonight. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till the services that are coming. Do it tonight. Act on your faith right now, and he will respond. If you've ever prayed a timid prayer, if you've ever reached a place where you had to recognize how weak your faith really was, my text tonight is the story of that kind of faith. He's not a prophet. He's not an apostle. He's just a father. A father whose son is vexed of a devil. Sometimes it rises against that boy and it throws him in the fire. Sometimes it's in the water. The father's own testimony is, he's trying to kill my boy. He wants to destroy my son. He is at desperate straits. He has done all he could do. I imagine him sitting up through the night, watching that convulsing child, trying his best to hold on to hope, but feeling it drain away. When other fathers are playing catch with their boys, he's sitting beside the bed and listening to his son's labored breathing. There seems to be no way out. It doesn't get better. He doesn't grow out of it. But from the time a child until now, it has been one long struggle just to survive. It overwhelms his life. It colors every day. It demands his constant attention. I can understand what he's feeling when he reaches this place of the final hope he has. And he comes to Jesus. He does not come with a prayer that's filled with faith and power. There's a little eloquence here. It's a desperate urging. And there's not very much faith in it. In fact, he comes to Jesus. And here's what he says. If you can do anything. I've been with the saints as a pastor. I've prayed with folks who looked up at me from a bed of affliction and said, Pastor, someone's going to have to pray the prayer of faith for me. What they were saying is you can get to a place where there's not enough faith left. There's not enough strength left. You've come too far. You've gone too long. And there's just nothing left but a sliver of hope. If you can do anything, have mercy on us. Doesn't sound courageous, does it? Doesn't sound confident, strong. Oh, no, hardly not. Just one word would have made a ton of difference. In my way of thinking, it'd have been better to say, since you can do something. We know you can do something. That would have made a whole world of difference. If I'd have been trying to impress Jesus, the word he said to start that sentence is the last word I would have said. The word if is not a word of faith. It's not a word of power. It's not a word of strength. It's not a word of confidence. He wasn't sure. His faith was so small that he wasn't convinced that he wasn't wasting his time. If you can do anything about it, do it. Help us. That's more a crop duster than a 747. More meek than mighty. More timid than towering. Well, let me tell you something about it. If that prayer sounds like your prayers sometimes, don't be discouraged. Because this is where prayer begins. This is where it starts. He knew where to come. He knew who to ask. He knew what to say. He wasn't sure of the outcome, and it was an honest-hearted man who is at the end of his rope, who has gone as far as he can go, done all that he can do. The situation is far beyond his meager powers, and now he stands unsure of himself, and he says, if you can do anything, would you do it? If you can do anything. It's the honest prayer of a hurting man. Let me tell you something. God is more moved by our hurts than our eloquence. He's more moved by our hurts than our theological stand. When an honest heart comes to him, no matter where from, no matter what's happening, when that honest heart comes to Jesus, something is going to happen. Jesus says, if you can believe, he recognizes that tiny bit of faith. He recognizes there's not much going on here. He recognizes the hurt, the pain, the disappointment has brought this man to the lowest limb of faith. He says, but if you can just believe, all things are possible. And he says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I recognize I'm not there. I'm recognizing I'm not that centurion. I'm recognizing I'm not the Canaanite woman. I'm recognizing I'm not in the league with Stephen, but I got a little faith. And Jesus says, a little faith is a lot. A little faith can go a long way. A little faith can open doors. A little faith can make a way. A little faith can bring a miracle. A little faith is enough if you'll have the courage to bring it to Jesus. Let's clap our hands and praise him right now. Stand with me right now, would you? Our attempts may be feeble. Our prayers may be awkward. We might mix our expressions, I believe, help my unbelief. We might not know how to frame the words all the time. We might not have the kind of faith that somebody's going to write about it in the Pentecostal life. But it didn't take that. Little faith is still a lot. Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. And since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it, not the one who prays it, a prayer from a position of little faith is still a prayer. Filled with power, filled with glory, filled with might. Because when a child comes, not with great faith, just simple faith. Jesus said, that's the kind of faith that gets heaven in gear, gets angels at attention, that gets devils trembling, that makes the old Satan himself afraid. Because a little faith, just a tiny bit of faith, is enough to turn the world upside down. To open an opportunity in the darkest night. To make hope be born in the most hopeless situation. It is better to come to God with a little faith than not to come to God at all. It was something about this honesty. I believe. I do believe. It ain't much. And I need you to help my unbelief. But my boy needs a touch. And Jesus said, okay. Didn't take a big wrestling match. It wasn't any kind of hoopla and fireworks. He just told that devil to come out. It tore the boy and he lay there like he was dead. So Jesus went down and picked him up and gave him back to his dad. Because a little faith is a lot of faith. If you could have faith, size of this building, you could say to that mountain. If you could have faith, big as the Statue of Liberty, you could say to that mountain, be removed. You could have faith like Abraham, like Moses, faith of Joshua and David. You could just have that great towering faith. You could speak to this mountain that's in your way, that's held you back, that's overshadowed your life for so long. You could just have great faith. That's not what he said. He said, if you just have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, the tiniest seed, hardly discernible. It's so small that it seems insignificant. Jesus said, a little faith. That's enough. Speak to it. And it'll move. Because a little faith is a lot. Maybe you're not sure. You've prayed about it so long. Maybe you're not positive. Maybe you would never say God couldn't do it, or not even that God won't do it, but he hasn't. That mountain's still there. The pain, the disappointment. So maybe I'm just going to have to live with it. Mm-mm. Because even though your faith is drained away, that those early prayers of confidence where you spoke the word of God with boldness are long in the past now. And it's barely a line on the prayer list anymore. And it's more hope than faith. It's more a wish list than a believe list. But if you could just have faith, a little faith, demons are cast out. Life comes anew. No more fire and no more water. Go home, play catch. Your son is well. A little faith. The storm is settled. We're already at the other side. Everything is good because of a little faith. I'm talking to someone here tonight. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. It's just a whisper of what it once was. No more raging fire, barely a dying ember. But that's enough. If you'll gather it up, it's just a mustard seed now. That's a lot. You get heaven in gear, it don't matter. And Jesus said, mustard seed faith moves mountains, plants trees in the sea. Just a tiny bit of faith. So I ask you to gather it up tonight. I don't know what you thought of early when I asked you to think of something you needed tonight. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you've been sick a while. Gather up. Whatever faith, whatever tiny little glowing ember there is, gather it up and bring it to him. Even if it's your last resort, even if tonight seems to be the end of the road, if you can do anything, this may be out of your league. I understand that. This may be too big for you, but here it is. If you can do anything with it, would you have mercy on us? Would you help us? And it triggered the power of the eternal God. It brought the Almighty from heaven, because there was a tiny spark, a mustard seed, a little faith. I know your children been gone from God a long time, but a little faith is a lot. I know that family issue that you've struggled with so long, but a little faith, it's a lot. And I know your financial situation and the health situation, and I know that deep, dark secret that dogs your footsteps every day and you can't seem to break free, but a little faith, it's a lot. And if you'll bring that problem and what faith you have, Jesus will meet you here, and he will give you a new day, a fresh beginning. Your dreams can come true because a little faith, it's a lot. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Tired of toiling and rowing. Let's wake Jesus up. What do you say? Let's take our little faith to the bow of the boat. And let's say, Lord, save us. Save us. It's a little faith. But it stopped a storm. And it brought them safe to harbor. Just a little faith. Just a little faith. Press in right now. I'm really reaching for that one that you're about to give up. You're almost resigned to just accept and just try to cope. But I'm pleading with you one last time. Bring what faith is left, even if it's just a little, just a little. Bring it to Jesus tonight. And here in the front of our church in the next 15 minutes, the sun will come up. An answer's on its way already. He said he hadn't left you and he's not going to, that he'll meet you tonight. Press in, won't you? Close as you can. There's several wanting to get near and I'd like them to have room. So press on in Jesus' name. By the power of God. By your great grace, Lord. We don't qualify as towering figures of faith. But, oh God, we bring our faith. And we ask you to save us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we know where to go and we know what to say and we know now's the time. So calm the storm. See us through. Make a way in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, reach out to him right now, won't you? I believe you, Jesus. Never stop. A little faith, that's a lot. A little faith moves heaven. A little faith makes a way. A little faith brings the miraculous power of God. A little faith. Come on. Come on, use that. A little bit of faith. Just a little faith. Save us, Lord. Come to our rescue, Lord. Not going to quit. Not going to give up. Not going to give in. One more time. Just a little faith. Just a little faith. Jesus, name. I believe you, Jesus. Come on, come on. That's it. He loves you. He's on your side. He's already at work. Come on, Jesus. Never stop working. Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.